Proverbs chapter 11, and we'll be considering verses 12 through 13 tonight. Proverbs 11, verses 12 through 13. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Well, tonight, it's more on the tongue. We've had a number of messages about the tongue, and we find that often in the Bible, the subject of the tongue. And I think that's because we need that. It's important. It's a very important part of our sanctification, as we'll see tonight. Here we have two Proverbs grouped together that address the same thing. And that's our tongue, and particularly the abuse of our tongue as it relates to others. This is a very important matter for the Christian. And as I said, it's oft repeated in the Bible, and it is for a reason, because the tongue is such a very important part of our sanctification. As James says in chapter 1, verse 26 of James, he says, "If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." That's pretty stern words. If the tongue is, what he's saying, if the tongue is not bridled, that is, if it's not put under control, it's a sure sign of hypocrisy. And as I've said before, that doesn't mean that we have perfect control over our tongue, because none of us have perfect control over our tongue. James said again in that same book, chapter 3, verse 8, he said, "No man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison." James is saying we cannot fully master it as long as we have this deadly poison of remaining sin in us, which we will have until the day God takes us home to be with him. So as long as there is this remaining corruption, we will offend people with our tongues. No wonder the Bible says, "Have fervent love towards one another," because love covers a multitude of sins. And we need that, especially for the sins of the tongue among God's people. We can bridle it, but we can't totally conquer it. And so we need to understand that when we read that about bridling the tongue, we must be working at bridling it, but it will never be totally conquered in this life. Now, there are many ways of sinning with our tongue. Remember that sins of the tongue chart that I often will put out there in the foyer when we're speaking on the tongue. And if any of you ever want that, I can always print you off a copy. But there's a whole page of different kinds of ways we can sin with our tongue. Our text tonight focuses on just one of those ways, and that is talebearing. Or in our modern vernacular, being a tattletale. We'll see this common theme in these verses. So verse 12, "He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace." So the first phrase in the proverb that we have here is understood by the second phrase in the proverb. It's the first phrase, "He's devoid of wisdom, he despises his neighbor." How is this? Well, man of understanding holds his peace. That phrase, "he holds his peace," is the operative phrase which gives us the key to the meaning of what it means to despise our neighbor. The one who is despising his neighbor in the first part of the proverb is the man who is not holding his peace. The one who has understanding and is honoring his neighbor is keeping silent about the thing that he knows. The ESV is clearer in this verse. It says, "Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent." Now you see how verse 13 goes along with the same manner of laying it out. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Now, in this verse, the ESV says slander. But I believe that's a bad translation, because talebearing is much more comprehensive, because it includes both gossip and slander. And this is clearly the intention of these two verses. He's not talking simply about slander. Reveals a matter. He didn't say it reveals a matter that is slander. Now, how do we belittle our neighbor and show disrespect for him? Well, is it simply by slander that we just show disrespect for our neighbor? Not at all. We show disrespect for our neighbor when we gossip about our neighbor. Well, there's a difference. Well, what's the difference between gossip and slander? Well, I'll give you a simple definition of both. Gossip is sharing information about someone else that ought not to be shared. Slander is spreading false information. And I would add, spreading false information either knowingly or unknowingly. Even if you unknowingly, you think you're telling the truth, but you're not, you're still committing the sin of slander. And if we spread false information, we are guilty of slander. But gossip is also a very great sin, even if we're repeating things that are true. We'll look at that in a moment. But first, let's see a clear proof text and show that they are different sins. 1 Corinthians 12:20. I'm going to read from the ESV because it's clearer on this matter. It says, "For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousies, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, disorder." You see how he names slander and gossip separately. In our version, in the New King James, it says backbitings and whisperings, but the ESV puts it better. It's for our understanding that slander and gossip. Now, there's both a major and a minor distinction between those two things, slander and gossip. And I'll show this more later on. But for now, gossip is true, but it's wrong to share. Slander is false and is an overt breaking of the ninth commandment that you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. But let's talk first about gossip. Again, gossip is telling things about our neighbor that we should not tell. So you might ask, well, what things can I tell about my neighbor? And what things may I not tell about my neighbor? And why may I not tell those things about my neighbor so long as they are true? In other words, why is gossip a sin? Well, I want to answer those questions tonight. Now, I gave a simple definition. Let me give a fuller definition of gossip. One dictionary definition is, and I quote, "idle talk or rumor, especially about the personal or private affairs of others." Gossip is telling others information about someone else that's none of their business to know. They don't need to know about it, and they are not part of the problem nor part of the solution, and them knowing the information does not benefit them or anyone else. You following me on this? Now, let me just repeat that. They don't need to know it. They're not part of the problem. They're not part of the solution. And knowing the information does not benefit them or anyone else. But it is information that the person talked about would rather remain a secret. So why is it a sin to gossip as long as what is said is true? Well, here's where we see a wide gulf between the thinking of the world and the thinking of the Christian. Because the world thinks nothing of gossip. Well, we know that, right? I mean, for decades and decades, as long as there's been newspapers, there's been a gossip column, right? They come right out and call it a gossip column. Here's the gossip column. You know yourself, you go to your news feed on AOL or, I mean, any of the news feeds on the internet, and they're just filled with gossip. I mean, probably, I don't know what the percentage is, but I think it's at least 50% of it is gossip, and the other 50% is slander. But I just don't even watch those things anymore. But, I mean, they're just so filled with gossip, and the world thinks nothing of it. The world thinks gossip is fine. In fact, they joke about it, don't they? I have some old programs I like to watch, some of the old black and whites, and they talk about gossip, and they laugh about gossip, and they think gossip, there's nothing to it. But I would say, too, that gossip is the national pastime of the world, and certainly the national pastime of NAFCO. My company is filled with gossips. And I could tell you stories about things that I've heard that have come around to me that it's just amazing, the gossip. And they're not ashamed. Like I said, it's a national pastime. Now, they know that slander is not good. They would never say in their newspaper, this is the slander section. You know, they wouldn't call it that. Gossip is good. It's fine. Might be a vice. It's all right. Slander is forbidden. And they understand that. Because it's so common in the world, and there is no disrespectability associated with gossip like other sins, it's easy for the Christian to fall into it. And Christians do fall into it. And we got to remember that we're not to be like the world. We are supposed to be different. We're supposed to be holy. And we should be holy in our conversation. Well, why is it wrong? First of all, the Bible says it's wrong. We just read it in 1 Corinthians. We've read it here when he talks about talebearing. Our passage here tonight says that if you reveal secrets about your neighbor, that you are devoid of wisdom. You're not being faithful as the person in the next verse, verse 13, who is being faithful by concealing the matter. But how is this unfaithful? Well, I'm being unfaithful to my neighbor in these secrets that I know about him. And it's a sin. It is a breaking of the ninth commandment. Now, I want to consider about the ninth commandment. Talk a little bit about the commandments here tonight. The ninth commandment, Exodus 20, 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Of course, formally and literally, we're not to give testimony about our neighbor that is not true, whether it be public testimony in a court of law or whether it be simply talking over the back fence to our neighbor. We are not to give out false information about our neighbor. It's a law against slander and perjury. But if we consider Jesus' summary of the moral law, we can better understand the scope of these words. So I want us to look at that in Matthew chapter 22. You know, and you can keep your finger here. In fact, I'm going to put a bookmark here so I can get back to it easily. But Matthew chapter 22, and verses 36 through 40, he gives this famous summary of the moral law. a lawyer asks him, he says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now we see Paul reiterating this very point in Romans chapter 13, if you would turn there for just a moment. Romans chapter 13 and verses 8 through 10. He says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law." Remember that phrase, he has fulfilled the law. "For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. You see, Paul's saying the same thing Jesus did. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And you can boil down the first table of the law, love to God, with the first four commandments. And if you love God, you don't want to commit idolatry. You don't want to blaspheme his name. You don't want to defile the Sabbath day. You see what I'm saying? You want to have God as your only. If you loved him with all your heart, you wouldn't have a problem with those sins, would you? Likewise, if you love your neighbor as yourself, well, you want to show respect to him. You don't want to kill him. You don't want to steal his goods. You don't want to slander his name, etc. All these things. See how love is the fulfillment of the law. So love for our neighbor is the underlying principle which the law of God has carried out in our lives. The Ten Commandments, you can think of them like topical headings under which all the other laws in Scripture are grouped. For example, the law about a banister around the rooftop. Let me read that. Deuteronomy 22:8. When you build a new house, then you shall make a parapet for your roof. That's a little like a short wall. That you may not bring guilt of bloodshed on your household if anyone falls from it. You see, a parapet is this low wall or a banister that's designed to protect people from falling off the roof. They used their rooftops back in those days for social gatherings. And so it'd be kind of like a balcony on a second-story building for us. You can't imagine them building a condominium with a balcony on it, and they don't put some kind of a barrier there. You say, well, that's pretty, I mean, that's not really very considerate. Somebody could fall off and kill themselves. Well, God had that as a law. Now, Sixth Commandment says, thou shalt not kill. And of course, we get the picture of somebody with a gun shooting somebody or something, or actively killing someone. But the Sixth Commandment covers much more than that. It covers anything that would do harm to my neighbor, that I'm not to do anything. And that's what this commandment here about the parapet around the rooftop falls under the heading of the Sixth Commandment. Likewise, all of the OSHA requirements, I shouldn't say all of the OSHA requirements, as any of us that have had to deal with OSHA, but basically the OSHA requirements for my factory are a fulfillment of the Sixth Commandment. As I love the life of my employees, I protect their lives by implementing the safety measures that the OSHA wants me to give. So you see how the Sixth Commandment is not just against killing, it's also a commandment to preserve my neighbor's life. But then there's also the heart keeping of the commandments, which Jesus taught us in the book, in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5:21-22, you've heard that it was said of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. So here we see that hatred in the heart is a breaking of the Sixth Commandment. We're guilty of breaking it, even if we don't actually take somebody's life, but we're just calling them names. Think of that the next time somebody cuts you off in traffic. You want to call them a reka. We don't say reka. Say, you dumb idiot. Right? You ever done that? Yeah, I've done it. And I've repented of it, too. Because I know it's wrong. So, anyway, then, of course, Matthew 5:27-28, you've heard that it was said of old, you should not commit adultery, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, Jesus didn't mention the ninth commandment specifically when he talks about the fulfillment of the law, but these same principles apply to all the commandments. If we love our neighbor and we're watching out for his best interests, Not only do we not lie about him, but we're also obligated by that same law to protect his reputation and to honor his name. When we gossip about people, we're not protecting their reputation. We're not honoring their good name. Gossip is showing a disregard for his reputation. That's why our passage here says that it says, he that is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor. He despises his neighbor, and therefore he gossips about his neighbor. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor. Now, I want to mention something else, just common sense about gossip. And that is this. How often is gossip just gossip and not slander? Or I could put it this way. How long does it take gossip to turn into slander? You ever play the game of telephone? How many of you have ever played that game? Some of you have. Most of you have. Okay. But anyway, you know what the game is? Let me explain it in case somebody doesn't know the game or somebody watching on the internet. I don't know if it's live streamed tonight. But anyway, the game of telephone. First time I saw it played was in a kind of a youth group setting, and there's a big semicircle of chairs, maybe 20 kids, 20 young people. And the first person whispers something in the person's ear as some statement. I think they write it down to make sure, you know, this is what was written down. They read it to the person. But that next person isn't allowed to write it down. They have to whisper it in the next person's ear, and they whisper it, and it goes all the way around the room. And it never, ever fails that by the time it gets to the end, it is something totally different than was written on that piece of paper. Just totally different. So by the time it gets to the end, long before it gets to the end, whatever's being said is not true. You get it? It's not true. Now, that's just a fun game that people play, but what it reveals is our inability to gossip without slander. You know, maybe the first person says something that they shouldn't say, revealing something, and what they've said is technically true. Now, maybe by some miracle, the second person actually repeats it exactly the same way. But certainly by the time they get to the third or fourth person that hears this thing, it's totally not that at all. I mean, like I say, NAFCO is the gossip center of the world. I mean, I have heard stories that I can't believe it. I'm walking some salesman through the company, and by the time I get back to my office, Al's selling the company. You know? We miss an invoice, and some company delivering a product demands COD because we missed an invoice, and by the end of the day, Al's going bankrupt. He doesn't have any money to pay his bills. I'm not kidding. I mean, I'm serious. Of course, worse stuff than that, you know, but I'm just telling you that, I mean, it's amazing how it gets around, and I'm sure the first person that said something, it wasn't that bad, but by the time it got to the 15th employee or so, it was just like out of this world. And that's the way it works. So by the time it gets to the ear of the person being talked about, it's almost always slander. Have you ever been slandered? Everybody in this room at your ages, you're a bunch of old people. Y'all been, not all of you, but you've been slandered. I know you have been. I don't have to even guess about that. Every one of you have been slandered at one time or another. And you may have found out about it, you may not. But I bet you every one of you has found out about it. Sometimes it hurts, doesn't it? It really hurts. So, and notice also this. Gossip never evolves into something complimentary. It never, never, never does. Gossip always devolves into something bad. Well, why would that be? You say, well, we're just not accurate in what we say. Why can't it evolve into something good? Well, it proves to us that our tongues are set on fire by hell. That comes from our wicked hearts. That's why gossip never evolves into something good. Always something bad. And so with gossip, which almost always, as I said, and almost inevitably becomes slander, we can certainly not be loving our neighbors ourselves, right? So in fact, we're hurting our neighbor in a very significant way. Well, one person I was reading said, some believe gossip is worse than murder. Well, now, I don't know if that's true, that gossip is worse than murder, but I do think that in many cases it's very much like murder. Murder, of course, we know is common in our society, but if that's true, how much more common is the sinister sin of gossip and slander? How many hearts has it broken? How many friendships has it ended? Let me just read this paper. Whenever the gossip gets to a certain level at NAFCO, I go out and I post these things all over the bulletin boards at NAFCO. And I've read this to you before, so some of you have heard it. You can go to sleep, but I'll read it for the rest of you. It's published by the Wall Street Journal many years ago. The snake that poisons everybody. It topples governments, wrecks marriages, ruins careers, busts reputations, causes heartaches, nightmares, indigestion, spawns suspicion, generates grief, dispatches innocent people to cry in their pillows. Even its name hisses. It's called gossip, office gossip, shop gossip, party gossip. It makes headlines and heartaches. Before you repeat a story, ask yourself, is it true? Is it fair? Is it necessary? If not, shut up. I like that. Probably everybody, like I said earlier, that hears this lesson tonight has been a victim of gossip. And as I said, gossip that has devolved into slander. And how did you feel about it? You didn't feel very good about it, I know that. And yet with all that experience, how much has that restrained you from doing the same thing? Just ask it, you know. Let's remember the golden rule whenever we're tempted to engage in gossip, either telling it or listening to it. And that, by the way, does include the internet. We should be careful about repeating even things we see on the news, I think. I mean, how often does the press have it right? Have you ever had, you know, an article and you were in it? They don't get it right very often. Now, we should be careful about repeating things. Like I said, even if we've heard them on the news, ask yourself, how do you know that this piece of news is telling us the truth? People are so gullible, especially when it comes to something that they hear about someone that's done something really bad. But the accusation is often all that's needed for somebody to be found guilty in the eyes of the public. And how heartbreaking this is for the victims of the slander. And when Christians engage in it, it's even more disgraceful. Jesus told Pilate, "You say rightly that I am a king. And for this cause I was born. And for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Well, Jesus also said to his enemies, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." John 8:44. So people are most like the devil when they engage in gossip and slander. Note how Jesus links murder and lies together. He said he was a murderer from the beginning. How does the devil murder people with lies? Well, there's a lot of ways he does it. Just practically speaking, how did all those people die on 9/11? They were all murdered, but how did they die? Well, the airplanes were just a weapon. They were murdered by lies. They were murdered by the lies that were told to the terrorists by their lying Muslim teachers, which is a false religion, promoting lies, lies from the devil himself. And that's what's killed all those people on 9/11. Think of all the wars in which people have died because of false information, because of lies, because of propaganda. Think of World War II and the lies coming from the Third Reich and all the lies about the Jews and all the millions of them slaughtered and things of that nature. Lies do end up killing people. And I'd say worse than that, lies damn souls, don't they? It's the devil's lies that keep people from the kingdom. So the Christian is called to a standard of truth. And so we especially need to weigh carefully what we allow to come out of our mouths, what we say. We must not repeat negative things about anyone unless it is necessary. Unless it is necessary for their safety and their well-being, whether it's necessary for the restoration or the well-being of the person that we're discussing. In other words, are you part of the problem? Are you part of the solution? This person you're talking about, this person you're talking to, is he part of the problem? Is he part of the solution? Ask yourself, does this person need to hear this information? Well, I mean, there are times when there's bad report you got to give people because they do need to hear this information. There's a child molester out there or something, and we know who he is, and we got to tell people to protect their children from this person. Or, you know, I mean, there are times when there's information that'd be wrong not to share. But most of the information that gets shared about people is not necessary to be shared. We must be sure that every word of what we're repeating is true. And I think if we follow these simple rules, it'll help us to keep our tongues from this sin that we're talking about here tonight. Just remember that men and women and all of us will be brought into judgment for these things. Matthew 12:36, Jesus said, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment." You know, I think of these late-night shows, and I think of these late-night talk shows and all the gossip and all the slander that goes on in there, and I think every single one of those words, every single one of those things they've said about this person or that person, whether they're a celebrity or whether they're not. Some people think a celebrity's got a big target on them, and it's all fine to go ahead and talk about them any way you want. No, that's not right. That's you're supposed to love them too, and for every idle word, men will give account. There's going to be an awful lot of accounting on that day, isn't there? Awful lot. And so as Christians, let us be different. Let us be careful. Let us be more quiet. Let us be more careful about anything that we might say that has any implication on another person's character. And if we're going to say anything about anybody, let's make sure that whatever we say is good. We can praise our neighbor. We can say good things about them, so long as it's true and it's not flattery. And that's another sin of the tongue that we won't go into tonight. But anyway, these verses, "He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. He does not gossip about his neighbor." A talebearer reveals secrets. They are burning inside of him. He's got to get them out. He's hoping to get them out. But a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Now let's pray that God would work these graces in us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this warning about our tongues. And forgive us for the times that we have gossiped. We have shared information that it wasn't proper to share. And we've disrespected our neighbor in so doing. So, Lord, forgive us for that, we pray. And help us to be of a faithful spirit. Help us to be careful about what we say about others, but also about what we believe when we hear it. Help us to be careful to be truth seekers and truth tellers, and that we'd be faithful to our neighbor, faithful to our brethren, faithful to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.